CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
It is 360 Biz indeed. My name is Debo Mafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz right here on Cliff Central. It is actually an exciting Wednesday. You know, they call it the WC Wednesday, Women Crush Wednesday. And unfortunately, just unfortunately, that we don't have Women Crush in studio today. But however, we've got gents that I know. I've seen these gentlemen being some WCW or being what? MCW? What is it? Is it MC or it's MCM?
Yeah, Men Crush Monday, yeah.
Oh, MCM, yes. Yeah. Men Crush Monday to some women out there. However, I mean, we're going to definitely take you on and continue with the show. I mean, you know, this is a show that brings you all things business. Most importantly, I'm excited that this is the first show for 2017. Let me take this opportunity to actually wish you a blessed 2017. I hope this year becomes the year that you didn't achieve, or this is the year that I hope this year becomes the year that you achieve what you couldn't achieve in 2016 or 2015. I mean, some of the people, I've seen them going wild on social media. I said, good riddance. 2016 is over. Yeah, 2016 was really some year for some people. But however, I mean, I'm sure it was not so bad. Because, I mean, I've seen some people celebrating to say for some of them, it was definitely the best year ever. You know, but one thing I've realized, I've heard a quote that says, if you're failing to plan, then you plan to fail. I mean, this is a popular quote that I've actually heard out there. That's why one of the discussions that I want us to have today, it's planning. Because, I mean, it's something that I think we need to do as the beginning of the year. I know that definitely we as the station are planning, and I know that I'm planning as well in my personal life, and I'm planning in my business too. I'm hoping the gentlemen that I'm with in studio as well are planning, but we're going to hear more about some of the plans. I was going through a definition that says a basic management function. Planning is a basic management function involving formulation of one or more detailed plans to achieve an optimum balance of needs or demands with available resources. It's a planning process that identifies the goals or objectives that needs to be achieved. But it's actually been speaking about something interesting with available resources. So now for me, it raises eyebrows. So does that mean if you don't have resources, you can't plan? Because I know for a fact that in 2015, crossing over to 2016, if ever you had said to me in 2016, I'll be traveling at the rate and at the level that I did, I'm sure I would have probably told you that you're lying. Because at that point in time, I looked at myself and the resources that I have, but I didn't have any. And it's interesting that at this point in time, a lot of people as well are making New Year's resolution. I mean, it's something that I want to ask today, to say how many of those resolutions have actually become a reality or manifested, you know, the resolutions that you've set in 2016. I mean, have you ticked off? Is it one of them? Is it two of them that didn't come to pass? Or even is it all of them? But I mean, before we get to that, let me jump over to, you know, the gentleman that I have in studio. I'm very tempted to be introducing them, but I think it's better if ever they introduce themselves to actually tell us who they are and what is it that they do. Let me start maybe on my right, on my left.
You are the left.
Yes, it's actually a gentleman that I respect. Pumlane, I respect you, my brother. Did I tell you that?
A number of times, yes, you have.
Yes, you know, and I know that you are a gentleman with an amazing work ethic, and I respect your craft. So I'm glad to be hosting you today, my brother.
It feels quite bizarre, you know, sitting right here and you sitting over there, you know. But thank you for having me, man. As you said, I'm Pumlane Khumalo. I'm a radio presenter by profession, and I'm happy to be here. It's quite... a nice environment. I want to live here.
No, my man, we can put a mattress right for you. But listen, we can hook him up.
Yeah,
right?
I want to stay in that corner there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know what? One thing I think I've learned to say, once the radio bites you, it's hard, you know, for it to leave you.
Absolutely.
You know, and I mean, for instance, that some of us, when we started in radio, I know that I came in your hands, in the likes of you, you know, the likes of X, you know, and many others, I mean, within the community radio station, being a Kasi FM. And I mean, you've always hustled, bro.
Hey, dude. Plant my bomb everywhere, you know.
Definitely. No, I mean, you are a legend, my man. You know, and of which I respect that about you. I think more than anything, the humility that you've constantly, showed. As you've been in this space throughout the years, you might not know the impact that you've had on people. So obviously, I'm fortunate that I'm here to tell you. But obviously, you don't know how many others that didn't have or don't have the opportunity to tell you.
Wow, I'm humbled.
But that you've actually influenced.
Really, I'm humbled. You're gonna make me cry, man.
No, definitely, man. It's just appreciating.
Yeah.
I mean, Fly Guy, tell me, you. Maybe let me start here. How many do you put up New Year's resolutions?
Actually, what I do every year is that I have only one New Year's resolution, to have all my resolutions fulfilled. You know, that is my one wish.
Is it?
Yeah. That is my sort of a mantra for the year. Because if I could have a list of those things come March, some would not be achieved, because we mm-hmm. have our hands in different pies. You want to achieve this, achieve that, you mm-hmm. know. So I think what works for me is that I set just one goal, to have all my goals, you know, achieved. It works for me that way.
And then, so how many of those goals that didn't pass through last year?
You mean last year?
Yeah.
There's quite a few which I think this year would be round two for me to, you know, have that chance to achieve them.
Okay.
Yeah, it takes determination as well, and you need to plan. Mm. Like you said in the beginning, you know, when you fail to plan, you're actually planning to fail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I want to put that to the test. I don't know, TQ, should we put it to the test?
Yeah. Okay. Let's do that.
Okay. No, it's fine. I know it's not part of your plan, but I think we'll make it your plan. After GQ has introduced the show, I think I'll hand it over to you, and you'll take it up.
Come on.
So and you will lead us on. I'll be your guest. I'll populate whatever that you need me to populate, and we'll do. You know. So let's see if ever we plan to fail. Let's see that you'll fail. Because I realize, you know, sometimes certain things, if ever they are not planned, it's not everyone that is meant to fail. I know for a fact that the man next to you, I mean, has done things that people have said, I know, oh my God, this is not going to work, it's going to fail. And he's made them a success, you know, out of that. You know, I think there's people that you'll go to war with, and they'll come back with you. And I know for a fact that having both of you guys in studio, I can go to war with you guys. I ain't getting shit about it.
Definitely.
So, accepting the challenge?
Bring it on, brother.
Oh, okay. No, definitely. My brother, welcome. Thank you for joining us. And take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what is it that you do.
Thank you to the listeners, and thank you to you for giving us the opportunity to come and be part of your opening show in 2017. My name is Xolisile Gucaza.
I think it's not often that you introduce yourself in your name, ne?
It's quite difficult, because everyone knows Maguka, and Maguka comes from Gucaza. And people could not pronounce Gucaza and Maguka, and then some...
It's quite a tongue twister.
Exactly.
Gucaza, Maguka.
Yeah. So some ended up saying, no, let's shorten this thing. Let's call you GQ.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got the name GQ, and some, they're still calling Maguka. So that's basically who I am.
Okay.
And I'm a business person. I don't like to say when you are self-employed or as a business person, say, I'm an entrepreneur and what. To me, it seems like it's fancy, you know, words. And at the times, I can't really be able to describe exactly what is that you makes you an entrepreneur,
mm-hmm.
you know, out of your life, or what is it that you've done from this age to this age, or from the business when you started business, why must we call you an entrepreneur?
Mm-hmm.
So I like to call myself a business person, because there's quite a number of things that I do. Some I may not do myself, and assisting other people to do such, I mean, in the business sector. So basically That's what I do. Well, in that business as well, you'll find some categories. There's entertainment. I've been to trading as well, commodities. And that's probably my main core business.
Okay.
Yeah.
What, trading?
Trading commodities.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Your coal, your manganese. Yeah.
Yeah. To some of us, I mean, that is new, but I mean, the most popular business that we know you from is the entertainment business.
Definitely, everyone knows that. I mean, I've been in the entertainment for such a long time now. I grew up in the entertainment industry. We were probably the first in the Eastern Cape, well, that's where I come from, to play in club. I mean, the first club that was open in the Eastern Cape was Wrap Around, and I was fortunate to be part of that in my youth days.
Okay.
And maybe the bug of entertainment, that's where it got me to even where I am now.
I mean, Makuka, I know that part of entertainment that you do, you plan a whole lot of events.
Yeah.
And you're planning a whole lot of events. I know, like, even in this December, you've been busy, dude, you know. Dude, when are you get busy throughout the year, not only in December?
Definitely. Look, events, it's a lifestyle. It's what people do in their spare time. They want, even if it's not their spare time, their corporate events. People want to chill on weekends. And weekends, that's where they want to probably have a bride meet, a music, and that's actually an event.
Mm-hmm.
So we leave that type of a lifestyle. I mean, even if people go to church and they have gospel artists there, you know, praising and worshiping, that's an event.
Mm-hmm.
So it's part of who we are as people. I mean, I don't know of any single person who forever is at work from Monday to Friday and they don't ever have fun and go to a restaurant and listen to live music and have a fine cuisine or you know, fine dining. So basically that's exactly where I come from.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, no, definitely it is. So I mean, before maybe I hand over to Pumlan or to Fly Guy. Pumlan, what happened to the name Fly Guy? We called you Fly Guy all these years.
You know the story behind that,
yeah?
That name. Actually what happened was that I had gone to the SABC to drop off my radio demo.
Okay.
So a lady that worked as a receptionist then, she was like, "Hey, this guy looks fly, you know?" And I'm like, "Huh?" And it actually stuck in my head. I'm like, "Okay, fine." She said, "I look fly," and fly means I look quite nice. I don't know if it was.
And at the time, you still had your dreadlocks.
My dreadlocks, you know what I mean? I'm like, "Okay, let's give this a shot." And the next thing, the name stuck, you know? So, yeah. A couple of years later, it's still part of my identity.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, we see a lot of planning that takes place, I mean, within people's lives, within people's businesses. And, I mean, some of us even get paid to come up with strategic management strategies, I mean, for companies. So, and, I mean, I found this clip that was very interesting, and I thought maybe... it will set the pace for today in terms of this planning that we're talking about, or strategic planning, because it's something that I think most of the time it's overlooked in one's life, it's overlooked in one's business, or even career for that matter. You don't need to be running your own business. You could actually plan as well as an employee to say, what is your plan for 2017, and definitely how is it that you want to pursue or follow this plan. But I think maybe we'll come back right after this.
Today's topic is about what is strategic planning really? You know, strategic planning means different things to different people, and we have found that if we're not really clear about what we mean by strategic planning for an organization up front before we get started, we tend to have some problems getting people engaged in the middle of the process, or there's just roadblocks or people's resistance gets in the way. So here are the different types of things we mean when we talk about strategic planning, and there are different outcomes most of the time that leaders are seeking when they're engaging in a strategic planning process. These build, So let's talk about them sequentially, and then you can think as we're moving through what you're really looking for in your strategic planning process. So at the very base level, a strategic planning process is an articulated plan. People want an articulated plan for their organization. So what do I mean by that? That means we have a mission, we have a vision, we have goals, objectives, etc. An articulated plan. Sometimes we want to add on to that, that plan is actually strategic. And you may say, well, it's a strategic plan, but that's not necessarily true unless you bring in external data. If you don't bring in external market data, such as what your customers think, what your competitors are doing, what's happening in your environment, in your industry, you're not going to have a strategic plan. You're just going to have a plan. Now, sometimes we don't need a strategic plan. Sometimes we just need an articulated set of mission, vision, goals, objectives. But sometimes we really need to figure out what our strategic differentiation is in the marketplace, and in which case, to do so, you need to add into your process that market data collection, use it to make strategic decisions about what you're doing and not doing, such your plan actually articulates how you're different. Okay, so a plan that's strategic that also drives organizational engagement. How do we drive organizational engagement? We cascade goals. And cascaded goals mean that everybody in the organization knows what their piece of the strategy and the plan are. That drives organizational engagement. And you may say, well, of course I want everybody engaged. And sometimes we want that in organizations, but we don't have the wherewithal to actually make that happen. And sometimes that's not necessary right now. So it's important to know if your strategic planning process is intended to drive organizational engagement or not. And if it is, you need to make sure that your plan goes all the way down to the individual level so everybody knows their piece of the future. So sometimes we add on to that the want to actually drive organizational transformation using a strategic planning process. And how do we do that? We have an articulated plan that's strategic, that's cascaded through the whole organization, that we talk about on a regular basis and we make changes to as we move along the way, and we help shift behaviors and we help drive choice. And we do that by visibly talking about it in specific meetings. I'm calling quarterly business reviews. You may call them something else. But the point is, we're using this information to drive decision making and drive behavior, and we're talking about it and we're being visible about it. So as you're thinking about your strategic planning process, think about what's important to your organization right now and get everybody on the same page about what the real outcome of your process is intended to be.
Wow, no, definitely. It's very insightful. I mean, I think she raised some of the most interesting issues that I think mainly are overlooked by many other people that are into business or even planning their year for that matter. I mean, she said articulation plan. To say sometimes when a pumlan is that we plan things for our life, but our plan is not articulated enough. Mm-hmm. So it means if a person would ask you to say what is it that you want to achieve, or they've got the power to help you, you can't be in a position to express that or to articulate. Mm-hmm. To say maybe for this year, this is what I want. I think, and this goes back to, you know, sometimes in church when it comes to prayer, they say you need to pray specific prayers. You need to be specific.
Absolutely.
In what you pray. So how often do you find that people just shoot blanks in there and hoping things can things happen?
I think that in essence is that repeats to what you were talking about not actually planning, because essentially you need to know what you're looking for. Like you said, you talked about prayers at church. You need to say specifically, I want to have this, that, or the other. Because if you're going to shoot blanks all over, you could be missing a million golden ducks, you know, mm-hmm. for all that matter, you know.
Yeah.
Because in my understanding, you know, planning is a forethought. You know, it is the process of thinking about and organizing the activities required to achieve a desired goal. You need to have that specific sort of desire as to what you want to achieve, and you have to have a plan on how to execute that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so without that, it goes back to failing to plan, which is you planning to fail.
Mm. I mean, you've done, and I know you do a lot of planning as well. I think you're one guy that I was shocked as to the level of planning that you put onto your show.
Yeah.
Do you want to perhaps take us through that bit of planning?
Yeah, with radio. Radio is a very intimate medium. It's you and the listener. So you need to prepare. There's a saying in radio, it's everywhere in radio. I mean, content is key. You need to have your content.
I always say content is king.
Yeah, key and king, yeah. Absolutely, because you are delivering a message to your listener. You are feeding them with information, of course, with entertainment. So for me, I like to give myself 2 hours to plan, because I like to relax and get to work 2 hours before the show. Do my research, check what's trending on Twitter, how's the day like, what is making headlines on the news. And I plan my day so that, you know, at the end of the day, a listener is left with an impact of what the show was all about. Okay. Unlike, you know, thumb-sucking information. To me, that's disrespecting a listener, you know. So planning for me is very important. You know, I take my radio show seriously, like you do. I mean, you were here early. You were planning. You were running like headless chicken, you know, just to make sure that the show runs smoothly.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it comes with a craft, and I think that's why for me I respect what I do so much. I mean, as well, if you'd see me when I'm planning my television show as well, I mean, I put the same level of effort. In terms of getting it out, right? Because at the end of the day, I mean, you said something very key. That's disrespectful to the listener.
Of course.
So, but I guess obviously with us being here today amongst the three of us, you know, the listener would be able to learn and take some tips or two around planning on what to implement in their life. So I think you can continue.
I wanted to pose a question to UGQ. In terms of your upbringing, you know, was business part of your family upbringing? Did you sell sweets in primary school, that kind of stuff?
Well, yes. Unfortunately, not at a primary school level. But when I was growing up...
Why is it unfortunate, though, did you?
Look, maybe I didn't have that time, the thinking of selling sweets and stuff, because I was already busy that time. When I was growing up, we had a shop at home.
Okay.
So, I was pretty much occupied, because each and every time when I was leaving school, I had to go home and look after the business. Just to make an example, each and every month, end of the month, we would have pensioners that we were to deliver. We had to deliver food. To the township. I mean, it's a township. I mean, so all the homes, I had to take paraffin there, 12.5 the SAMP, you know, all of that. We were taught, I was taught actually that type of operations
at a young age.
Yes, as well as to how to manage the business and when to finance as well, costing. You know, when we bought stock at the wholesalers, we had to price them. You know, and all that, and see the profits, and you know. So basically, that type of an upbringing. Yes, yeah, I come from that background.
Okay, so whilst, you know, young boys were playing soccer, others chasing girls, you were just behind the counter, you know, doing calculations and stock taking there.
I never liked the counter, because I did have time to play. I did play sports.
All right.
I was quite active as a young boy, but I was rather excited by being sent to one place to the other, because I would be behind the wheel. So I like the fact that I have to drive there and come back, you know. So being in the shop, I never liked being in the shop and see what's taking place in the shops, rather than going to first the stock, deliver this, buy this, and come back. Because it meant that I have to be behind the wheel.
Right. Now, fast forward to you as a grown-up now. The transition from being a businessman into now becoming an events guy, how did that come about?
Look, the events, it was... I come from a family that loves music. And when I was growing up, and I used to listen to Radio Bob and our local radio then, which was Radio Siskai. And we had the best DJs that were coming from Johannesburg, the likes of Evidence Camp.
Oh, yes.
Many of them. So I used to listen to music a lot, and I would record using these tapes.
The cassettes.
So I became quite popular in my township, because now the music that they didn't have, I would have the type of music that was not there, and end up playing in parties, you know, of young people, and even old people used to come and say, "Hey man, do you have the new trombies? Do you have the new this and that?" You know, so... I then quite liked this and ended up actually being able to play. You know, I got exposed to SL 1200 technique.
Oh, the turntables, yeah.
Yes, I started
playing. I learned mixing from that.
Exactly, using vinyls. And then from there, obviously, the digital took over from the analog. So by that time, I had to expand the business, because now we're doing stock failures, you know, at school, and then we ended up having to do these parties where people would contribute to the whatever you have, and then we have our own DJs, and then we charge people to come at the door, you know. It then became a bigger thing but it comes from that.
Yeah, from humble beginnings.
Yes.
So I'd like to know, I mean, what is the biggest mistake that people do nowadays when it comes to planning for an event? Because some people think that constructing an event, it takes about probably 2 days, and I think a lot of work goes into that. Take us through as to what sort of planning key factors you sort of implement when you want to have a successful event.
One, in my experience, people definitely would experience differently, you know, being promoters or the event organizers, you get different experiences. One, which I value most, it's time.
Time.
Yes. Whenever I have to plan an event or to think about the event, I always think the time. Is the timing right? You look at the season. You look at there's quite a lot of things that you must consider. You look at the weather as well is part of it. Besides just the financial resources, the capital injection that you put in order to make the event a success, because you have to book your entertainment, meaning your DJs, your artists, you have your infrastructure, your furniture, your marquees,
security,
your lighting, your security, you know. So those are just the things that are there. But how are you going to stage the event is the most important thing, because having a sound and light and those things are somewhere in the warehouse. They are there. But do you have people that have actually gave you, I mean, if they give you the surety that we will come to the event, because that's where the business is. You need people there. So just going to people and convincing people to come to the event, that's the most important part.
That's
in
the most
event.
Important.
Meaning you're talking about marketing. So marketing, it's number one. You could have all these people coming here, and if you didn't, I mean, you can have your sound and everyone and even the artist, but if you didn't market the event well, no one will come to the event, and the artist will perform for who?
Wow.
So what goes in it, it's exactly what we're talking about, which is planning and not only planning comes in different types of forms. You have operational, you got to have a tactic, you got to have a strategy as to how you are going to put up the event. So it's that difficult. It's not only about just being ambitious and say, I'll put an event, I have money. Even if you do have money at times, the event may take down
a different toll.
Yeah.
Things could go pear-shaped.
Exactly. So you really need to have those type of forms which revolve around planning, which is obviously if you plan, how are you going to put this thing in operation? How are you going to implement this? And from there, what are the other issues that may come that you didn't even think of? Because you could have this event and then the artist maybe feels sick and they can't perform, and you've got a crowd here already, you know.
And then they cancel at last moment, like, how hey, are not you feeling well.
Exactly. How are you going to now relay the message to the people that you have invited? So you need quite a number of things there.
All right.
It's not as easy as people think.
Right. Interesting. Now, I'd like to know, going back to what you've mentioned, what are some of the challenges that you had faced, you know, in your early days as an events maker, for lack of a better word? And how did you maneuver around that?
Look, I think in order to be in that space, because in eventing, you're dealing with people, as I said, in order to be in that space, you must be able to have a way where you connect with masses, with people. There must be something about you that actually connects you with people out there. And when you say to people, I've got this thing, you must also have a track record where you prove yourself that actually you are a reliable person. Because people, they especially in the eventing space, people have said things and they never commit, you know, or if they do commit, it becomes something that one hasn't anticipated, you know. So you get quite a number of things in the path. So basically, your question is, what are the challenges?
Yeah, the challenges.
Yeah.
Yes.
So as I said, there are unforeseen issues where you have an outdoor event and then you probably have quite a few. You can't if you are doing an event in a stadium, you can't actually cover the entire stadium. If it's an outdoor event, you will probably have a few of those VIP marquees there and there, and the weather then decides you have a storm of some sort. It kills the entire event, you know. Those are the challenges that one gets if you have planned the event. But from planning to actually implementing the event, I've really never had something that I can point it out and say, from this day I've been trying this and it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. Because that time I have already planned properly.
Planned and had a backup plan.
It takes time. Even, a backup plan. Mm-hmm. If anything of that nature happens, what are you going to do? Do you have a plan B? Do you have another a venue where you could postpone and say, okay, whoever that had bought the ticket, they must keep their sleep or whatever. We will give another show free next time, you know, when the weather is fine or something of that nature. Right. So you will have that. It doesn't matter which age you it could have happened 10 years before. Even now, it's something that can happen.
Well, so planning is very essential. And that's coming from GQ there. So, Tebs, I'd like to pose this question to you. I mean, how do you sort of put you know, what we've just talked about now, in your daily life? Because I remember sometime last year you traveled extensively, you know, with business, and what have you learned as well from your travels?
I just got back now a few days before Christmas, having gone to the state. I think for me, more than anything, one of the things that in terms of my planning that is key. And that I need to factor in, it's my team. Because wherever I am in the States, I need to broadcast from the States. So it means I need to make sure that, my producer is here, making sure the show is running, controlling the desk, connecting me all the way to the States. You know, so that, because the show needs to continue. And even at the office, I mean, the team needs to make sure that things are moving and things are happening. So I rely a lot on a team. So I cannot plan on my own. In my planning, I need to factor them in. And I need to factor my television schedule as well, to say I need to shoot shows ahead, because I know that how many months I'm going. So it means by the time you see that show on TV, maybe it's shot 2 months or 3 months back. So at least I've got that ahead. And when I'm back, I know that how much I need to factor in. So it's one of the things. And another thing that I think that is key, what I've realized in terms of traveling most, is that our space is quite different from the States. In the States, everything is on steroids. You know, it's an open market. It's really survival of the fittest, you know. That's why for them, they're able to come here in our small training and do flames and do big things. So else we don't think that much, we don't think that far ahead. And for with them is that from day one, their businesses are started to service the world. That is one. And two, they build businesses in order for them to sell those businesses eventually one day. Where else with us, we build businesses to keep them, to retain them. Them with them, it's a target to say, I want to make a $100 mark. After the $100 mark, I sell. And for me, it's something that is new. It's something that is interesting. And when it comes to personalities, the personalities are big. I mean, everyone, they it's chasing to have their own radio platform, not only show, but station, you know, their own frequency. They are more digital, that side. So anybody can have their own radio station. Anybody can have their own television station, you know. So it's very competitive. That's why out there, if ever you're going to make it, you're going to definitely have to be something special. So, and in such a way that most of the things that are basic are left to foreigners, because those people are far busy chasing bigger and better things with their lives. So it's been a very interesting journey, but I love it. I'm going back there this year again. And I think eventually I would love to live there for a couple of years.
You should take me with, brother. Live in a suitcase. So now back to you, GQ. I mean, I'm trying to actually, put you in a box, because you sound like a very busy guy. You are in events, you did logistics back in the day. I mean, how do you unwind? How do you relax? Because part of your job is to make people have fun. You create events. But how do you sort of have fun?
You see, what's good about planning events or being an event organizer is that you don't seclude yourself from the activities that you're part of. So basically, if I'm doing an event here with artists or whatever, or show or a festival, I'll be part of that as well. Meaning, whoever that has fun there, I'll have fun. So that is why it's important that when you create an event that you would also like to be part of. If you were to be invited there, you would want to go. Don't create an event for people based on the fact that you want them just to come and support you and you make money out of it. No. Would I be happy and chill in that event till the wee hours of the morning? Yes. Create such an event. So, being that busy, I always out there. I'm always out there because I support the people that support me. If I get invited, I honor those invites, because the same people will come to my events. So I don't get, not unless I'm on holiday and I'm thinking, you know what, let me just leave and go to somewhere else and without working, then yes, that's how I'll unwind or decide to be with my family, you know. But more often than not, each and every week, whatever that I have, it's something that I enjoy with my company, with my friends, with even the other people that I don't know, that I become friends with by virtue of them coming to my events. So it becomes this big family thing that we are creating in the eventing space. Because as earlier on, Debucho was asking me, December, I was quite busy. December, it's the month where everyone is in a party mode, you know, and some they home. I've created an event back home 6 years ago, a homecoming reunion, and that event today it's quite the biggest event in my home.
Is it an annual event?
It's annual. This year it was the sixth year now. It has gained momentum like it's unbelievable. So when I started it, it was a situation where I thought, you know what, we all come from different towns. We work in these towns. Mm. So when we're home, we're all here. Somehow we need to sit down and connect. If you are in maybe you didn't even know that we are both in Joburg, but we went to the same high school. Mm-hmm. We could talk about things that, you know, that we're doing in these other cities.
It's more like a reunion.
A reunion.
Just kick back and catch up.
Yeah, homecoming reunion. Mm-hmm. And one would ask, you are home for holidays, but still you are working. So I would be home and still go to an event. So it's better for me to actually do something than actually go there and just party without any returns or without any form of empowerment or developmental structure. Because when you're doing an eventing is that big. It's got a value chain. You have waiters, you have security, as we have mentioned mm-hmm. before. You've got DJs, you've got artists, you've got cashiers, you've got this and that. So these are the people that actually you have employed. You basically give something to them.
That's
so in that 2 days, which is the 23rd and the 24th of December, people are back home. They've got nothing to do. They are waiting for their Christmas lunches. So I saw an opportunity. And it's that's part of me unwinding.
All right. Interesting way of unwinding, you know, creating events. But he's actually there and working.
Exactly.
On the other hand, he's also, you know, unwinding.
Yes.
Would you say that we as South Africans, you know, are a nation that plans, because you mentioned December, the busiest month where people just go crazy and buck wild. You know, do we plan, you know, for that month, or we just go crazy because it's January now, you know, Skapora Mureki, you know, is nowhere to be found now. People are running to
Fandami's gone.
You know, Fandami's gone. People are Mafunama loans, you know.
It's quite an interesting question. Look, you earlier on you touched on New Year's resolutions, and I've got a different view with resolutions, because people, humans by their nature, today they like Valkyrie, and tomorrow they like Aqua something, you know, or Aquanila, whatever brand it is. So what really is important is just to be ambitious, achieving goals and having a route that you are taking to say, this year I'd like to finish my degree or whatever. How you get there along the way, it's something that you really don't have a control of. You could be going that route and something else happens. Maybe you lose one of your close family members and then you get distracted, you know. So I can't say people they don't plan. It's a global phenomenon. In December, we know, because each from January to December, if you are working, some people they call they are slaving that time
for 11 months.
Exactly. Mm. So this time of the year, which is a very short actually period, because if you look at it, you close at work around 16, 15 if you are that lucky, you know, and you only have another 14, 15 days, including traveling, mm-hmm. and you have a bonus, but you manage to kill everything within a short space of 15 days.
I think that one, Marco, it's one of the things that disturbs me.
Yeah.
So we work 11 months.
Yeah.
To be paid 12 times a year, you know, to spend and waste all that within 14 days, like you said.
Yeah. So it's a short period. And you can't say therefore one didn't plan, or the other they're not considerate. The society is created the situation. Even from the shops, they start selling at prices that maybe you'll have a sale, maybe you'll have this and that. You know, it's there. It's given to you. So when people going home, they know that okay, we're gonna have lunch. Obviously, that one is it's a showcase. You need to slaughter if you are from the rural areas, or us coming from, you know, those
from Joburg visiting there.
You have to slaughter something. Mm-hmm. We have extended families, especially. I want to emphasize this, especially to our communities. I mean, where we come from, black people. We have extended families, and we don't all work. You will find there's one person, a breadwinner there, and you've got all these people that are looking after you. So you are uncles. Back from Johannesburg, and you need to buy people presents. You know, there's January as well, school fees, and that and that. So that money, it quickly get. It's not that people drink it or they are being, you know,
well, some do,
inconsiderate. Yeah, but yeah, in some cases, but not all the cases, because as I say, you know, if I'm back, we get prayers from people we don't know in our communities. So if I see my neighbor here, and I'm back from Johannesburg, and I'm working, they know I'm working, I'm back here, so I'd like to give something, you know, and your money gets dispersed, all this type of, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, Tebs, one thing I've learned from one business guy, he actually told me something that I try and apply in my life, you know. It's called a SWOT analysis, you know. You need to have that, you know, your strengths, your weaknesses, opportunities and threats. Do you actually sort of live by that sort of mantra?
Okay, it's a very good mantra. I try to live mainly by that from a business perspective, other than personal. In business, I mean, when we're putting together business plans or we're planning for the year, we try by all means to live up to that. But come to think of it, I think it would actually work in the personal life. Let me try it this year. And let me see how it goes, and I'll let you know.
Right. Yeah. I'll hold you to that.
No, definitely. I'll definitely let you know.
So some things, just to add on what Tebogo is saying, some things are not practical. As I'm saying, you can think and have a dream, and you exactly know where you want to go and how you want to be there. Come implementation. It's not a very easy task, because that's where issues of resources come in play. How are you going to you know exactly that you want to be there, but how do you get there? It's another issue. So that's why earlier on you asked, do you think we plan? Yes, people do plan. People are not stupid. I mean, not all. If there's some, they are. You'll get some, but not everyone. You know, people, they know before they want to do something that they want to do this for this reason. It will give them this type of results. You know, and there are disadvantages as well. You may get hurt along the way. You may be disappointed by even your friend or even your family member, the one that had promised to assist you. Mm. You know, they don't come, not because they don't want to as well, but because of unforeseen circumstances.
Absolutely.
So that's when people then decide to point fingers to others that this person can't plan. Why did you do this? I mean, you need to get into the actual gist of the matter to why people cannot get into out of these issues. Yeah. I mean,
no, definitely. I mean, Pumla, we left with 3 minutes before we get out of the show.
Ah, time flies.
Yes, let me ask: Does the SWOT analysis work in your life?
It has, because it helps me to have a 360 sort of view, or should I say 180, 360, either or, of my life. What are my strengths? What am I good at?
Okay.
What are my weaknesses? You know, what should I improve? in, you know, what are the threats, what I should look out for, opportunities, what should I grab. So I think that to me it should be an everyday sort of life, you know, to have a sort of analysis in my life.
No, but I think maybe GQ, let's try it and see.
Yeah, I'm always open to possibilities. I'm into positive and constructive.
Yeah, I think in business you need to actually know who's your who are your competitors.
Yeah.
You know, who's doing the exact event in that same location.
Mm.
You know, what are your chances of killing it in that time? Yeah.
Look, another point. I maybe where I come from. I come from a hawker type of, you know, environment in business. If there's an auntie in township who sells orange, and the next of that auntie, there's another one sells the same product, and they always make means together. So you argue this. I mean, he's saying if you've got an event and someone else has an event, I always believe strongly that if you know what you want to do, do it. It doesn't matter who else does it. You will both get you'll get results, both of you.
Right.
If exactly you know what you want to achieve from that event, there's nothing that stops you. Never be worried about the other person next door or there is doing. As I said, hawkers stay together in one line, sell one product, they all make money, and there's never issues and conflicts.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, I've heard you, gentlemen. We've come to the end of the show, unfortunately.
Yes.
We always close off the show in style, to say there's someone that is listening out there. You know, what would be your 30-second word of inspiration to somebody that is listening, that is maybe on the verge of giving up or has been trying this thing and they see it not coming together?
When you're about to give up, that's when you're actually going to break through. That's all I can tell you.
When you're about to give
up,
that's when...
If you're about, the minute you have that edge, that tells you that actually I must stop. Just take another... few 30 minutes if it was an hour that you were looking at, or another hour if you were looking at 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you find your breakthrough.
Mm.
Never give up at all.
Well, I'd say to a listener who's on the verge of giving up, you know, from what I've learned from Mahatma Gandhi, is that be the change you want to see in the world. You want to see change in your life, you need to plan and be that change and make it happen.
No, definitely. No, thank you a lot, gentlemen, for joining us. For quickly, for those that want to follow you on social media.
On social media, I'm there, Pumlani Khumalo. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm there.
Okay, yeah. Same handle.
Yeah.
Okay. My brother?
My handle on Instagram is Makuka, Maguqa.
Makuka.
At Makuka, and on Twitter as well, and on Facebook as well.
No, okay. Yeah. No, definitely, Makuka. My word is what? A goal without a plan is just a wish. Some of us, I know that we're sitting here in studio. The only thing that we had was a wish, but out of that wish became a plan. And some of us are living that plan today, and we still want the greatest things in life going forward. Continue to plan. I always say a measure of a man is not how many times you fall. It's whenever you fall, how many times do you get up, dust yourself, and try again. Ladies and gentlemen, this is all that we had for you too. This is all that we had for you today right here on 360 Biz, Cliff Central. Catch us again next time for another exciting installment with another exciting show right here on Cliff Central. If ever you've just joined in, go to the app, download the app, go to the website, listen to podcast, download the show. We've got some amazing shows that we had to you know, in the past and definitely today. And looking forward to everything that we have for you in studio, definitely going forward. My name is Debo Homafodi, and I'm out. CliffCentral.com.